TSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
I'm Jesse Brown, and today we're conducting a full mouth examination of the dental industry.
So I'm just wondering what steps Dental Core is taking to prevent dentists overprescribing x-rays.
Well, in terms of trying to prevent dentists from overprescribing x-rays, we have...
It was like pulling teeth. Wait for that. So I went undercover to the dentist. I wore a wire. No, really, I did. I wanted to see what would happen if I went as a new patient to a new dentist and asked for a cleaning. Just a cleaning. Would they try to upsell me? Root canal, sir? Perhaps a gold tooth for you? New set of grills, maybe. Look, I'm joking around because as things go in our increasingly crooked world, one journalist's suspicion that dentists might be overprescribing services and treatments did not initially strike me as the crime of the century or the best use of our investigative resources when this story was first pitched. But our reporter, Kevin O'Keefe, reminded me dental care in Canada is now partially subsidized. And with the new National Dental Care Plan, every taxpayer in Canada is now underwriting the dental industry. According to a recent CBC report, more than 1 million Canadians have dental care under the new National Insurance Plan, with an average spend of $730 per patient. So let's say that $200 of that per patient was spent on something that that patient didn't really need, like, say, an unnecessary set of x-rays. Well, that really adds up. That would amount to a major scam on our national healthcare system. By 2025, the Canadian Dental Care Plan, the CDCP, is going to expand in a big way. It will cover 6 million additional Canadians. So the question is worth asking. What is being done to keep Canada's dentists honest? Or, more to the point, what's being done to keep tabs on the big corporations that have been scooping up the little neighborhood dental clinics? I had to admit, Kevin had a point, and so we gave him the green light to go ahead and investigate. That's when he told us that he would need a mole, a snitch, someone with no compunction about spying on dental care professionals, someone overdue for a cleaning. Everybody was looking at me. Wait for it. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good Friday.
Yeah, it's you too.
Hey, everything good?
Thank you.
So today, appointment for the cleaning only, right?
A cleaning, yes, please.
How was that for you?
Disturbing.
I feel like I have a new level of intimacy with you, Jesse, that I never counted on.
Yeah, we don't know each other very well.
We do now.
I think that that's actually a high level of intimacy for me to go wearing a wire to a new dentist, knowing that, like, handing over the recording to you of the gunk being scraped from my teeth and me spitting out the mouthwash, I feel like you just watched me go to the bathroom or something.
There is a method to my madness. We wanted to find out, you know, how many x-rays they're going to ask to give you. And maybe initially that sounds like, why are they picking on dentists and x-rays? But if the listeners bear with me, there's a much bigger, more insidious thing going on than just the odd x-ray.
I mean, I hated going to the dentist as a kid.
And now?
I took one for the team because I believe in the cause of journalism.
Yep. That's water there?
Yeah, that's the water.
And this one's mouthwash.
Okay.
normally for the new patient, the doctor recommended a complete examination. So it's actually obtained the full mount x-ray and the full check for you.
How often should people get x-rays?
So normally, like, the first year, the first time, it's actually the full mount. And then every year, maybe one or two, or like four, depending on like, how many multiple cavity you have.
One or two x-rays a year?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was immediately after my cleaning. That was my conversation with the hygienist. Yeah. And she actually had started that conversation by saying she didn't have time to do an x-ray today, but I should come back for an x-ray because there's a new patient.
What she's saying is because you're a new patient, you should get a full mouth of x-rays. And then you should come back once or twice a year to get more x-rays.
And then when I went out to reception to pay up, I had a different conversation where I got slightly different information from the receptionist.
So here's what the receptionist said to you.
Now your hygienist recommended the oral exam with the full mouth x-rays. If you are interested kind of like becoming a new patient or continuing your visits here.
Okay, I think I had an x-ray just a year ago though.
Just a year ago, okay.
How often do you need an x-ray?
Well, usually a year.
They were pretty adamant that I should get new ones.
Because that's their protocol. Every new patient gets a full mouth set of x-rays. That's just what they do. So what I wanted to do, he's actually a friend of mine, but he's also a dental radiologist. So he specializes in x-rays and he actually trains dentists how to use x-rays. His name is Dr. Ernest Lamb. So thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
I have a bunch of questions that I'll probably refer to a bit. And I have some audio that I'd like. And I played those clips for him because I wanted him to tell me, is there, like the impression they gave you that there's this hard and fast rule, x-rays once or twice a year, new patients always get x-rays. Is that true? Is there a hard and fast rule that that's what dentists should do? And here's what he said.
No. All of the guideline sets actually report ranges of dates, X number of months to Y number of months. The guidelines of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration suggest that the interval is 6 to 18 months.
So where does this every year come from?
I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I do realize that many dentists use this rule of thumb, but the rule of thumb is just that. There is no evidence base for that.
That was your experience, and we'll reveal kind of later why we sent you to that specific dental office. But I asked Dr. Lamb, like, is this a random thing? Has this ever happened to you, for example, when you go to the dentist? What do they say to you? So here's an experience he told me about.
The dental assistant sat me in the chair and said to me, I'm going to make some bite wing x-rays. So I said to the dental assistant, can you look in my chart and tell me when the last ones were? And I think her response was 9 months ago. So I said to her, given that I brush regularly and I floss, for somebody like me, the interval should be closer to 24 to 36 months.
Wow, so 2 to 3 years. And she was saying every 9 months. She wanted to do it after nine months. So between you and Dr. Lamb, there's clearly lots of inaccurate information here. First, the hygienist shouldn't be saying anything about how many x-rays you need. In fact, according to the Royal College of Dental Surgeons of Ontario, the governing body for dentists in the province, they have rules that state that only a dentist can determine if you need x-rays. And secondly, the dentist that orders the x-rays, according to the Royal College, they can only do it after examining you. So they have to look at your teeth and gums, find out if you brush and floss regularly, things like, do you have fluoride in the water? Take all these things into consideration and then and only then decide if you need an x-ray. So clearly, that's not what you were told and that's not what happened to Dr. Lamb. So why is this such a big deal, Jesse? Well, I think Dr. Lamb explains it really well. Instead of going to the dentist, say you went to your family doctor and something similar happened, I think you'd find that pretty bizarre.
Does your family physician order a CT scan of your brain because they are concerned that there may be occult disease developing in your
brain? You may have a brain tumor or something, yeah.
And the answer is always no, because apart from the fact that it just sounds so far-fetched, there is zero evidence base for that. I mean, I appreciate that that's a very extreme example,
No, it's actually, it makes a lot of sense because my doctor doesn't say, let's give you an x-ray to make sure your leg's not broken. Like, it doesn't feel painful. There's no sign of anything problem. So why x-ray it?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing in dentistry.
It's the same thing.
But, you know, basically we want to know, especially because we're going to start paying for this soon, and we already are in some cases, like how widespread is this? Is this happening everywhere? So what Dr. Lamb did was him and his colleague surveyed all of Ontario dentists, and they gave them three scenarios, and they said to them, in each of these scenarios, would you order an x-ray? And in each scenario, Ontario dentists, a lot of them, sometimes in one scenario, over half of them ordered x-rays way more than were necessary.
So he did this in a rigorous way. This was research that showed that this overprescription and overbilling happens most of the time.
In the paper, we did outline three scenarios. And for each of those scenarios, we asked dentists what their prescription would be for x-rays in those three scenarios. I believe that in each one of the three scenarios, the general dentist did overprescribe.
Why do you think they're all overprescribing x-rays?
Innocent as I am to the ways of the world.
I find this hard to believe.
No, they're doing it for money.
Yes. So I asked Dr. Lamb in his study, and he came up with a really interesting way to tease that out.
Statistically, we were able to demonstrate that if dentists saw dentistry as a business, they were more inclined to suggest that they would prescribe more dental x-rays than might be deemed appropriate.
As you say, an incentive, I guess, and that's what your report talked about, is this business-focused incentive to, if you've got the x-ray machine sitting there, well, we may as well do one once a year because it's just sitting there and we can make some money doing that. The interesting thing is, we sent you to that dentist, just to be totally real. You go to a different dentist, but I wanted to send you. Did you have any idea if that was a chain, if that was an individually owned dentist? Did you have a sense of that at all?
Well, to be totally honest, first of all, I did need a cleaning, so our stars aligned there. But I did go to a different dentist than usual based on the one you told me, actually, Jesse, you should go to this one. I didn't know exactly, but I suspected there was a reason why you wanted me to go to that specific dentist.
That dental office I sent you to was owned by DentalCore. And this is kind of another big factor in this story, is this kind of gobbling up of all these mom and pop neighborhood dental offices by big corporations. And
they it's own... called DentalCore?
Exactly.
Is this, and we're just living in RoboCop.
Yeah.
I do recall our sister show, Commons, I think it was in their season about monopolies, where they talked about private equity and how these giant pools of money are in search for new types of businesses that they can gobble up and then apply economies of scale. So like pet stores and veterinary clinics and anything that you might have, like a dentist owns a dental practice, a florist owns a flower shop. If you can have 100 of them or 1,000 of them, then you start to squeeze for maximum profits and minimum overhead.
And I just want to give you a sense and get your reaction to this, the size of scale we're talking about here. And it's kind of interesting, like if you go on DentalCore's website, there's like a tally at the bottom that all the dentist office they're buying up kind of tallies through. So,
well, like this many dental offices
gobbled? Yeah, we bought this many gobbled up so far, over 550 across Canada. Guess how much money they made in the second quarter of 2024.
Kevin, I think you want me to just like spit a guess number at you, but I'm actually going to take a minute and try to figure this out.
Yeah, it's like a game show. Let's cue the music.
I imagine a business of that scale would be really happy if total revenues were $2 million a year for a neighborhood business like that. So a quarter of that is $500,000 times 550. $275 million a quarter.
Almost $400 million in the second quarter of 2024.
I wasn't in a totally different ballpark, though. You got like a little bit impressed with what I just
millions.
Did, right?
Yeah, that's impressive. Hundreds of millions.
Because you maybe you were thinking I was going to say, I don't know, Kevin, $10 million. And then this would be a moment where I'd be like, oh, my God. But I guess $275
you
million.
You did pretty good. No,
and
you're
it's
in
actually
the ballpark.
$400 million. That is astonishing.
Yeah. This is like big money. And, you know, Dr. Lam, in full disclosure, he did want us to know that he does do consulting at a company owned by DentalCore.
Oh, DentalCore's got its tentacles everywhere. There's no escaping. Even they got Lamb.
You know, this is somebody, you know, he's an academic. You can hear the tone in his voice. He's very careful with the way he answers his questions.
The two of you talking is delightful, by the way. It's so calming, even when you're telling me things that make me angry.
But, you know, he's dedicated his life to teaching dentists. And, you know, asked him, like, how's it make him feel that, you know, he's been teaching for decades. And clearly that's not practiced when his students graduate.
I saw my career as wanting to help people. I think that's why people like me become dentists. My concern about those people in our study who reported that they saw dentistry as a business and these for-profit corporations, these people scare me because I now become concerned that these people are no longer putting the patient first.
So that's upsetting, and it's upsetting for people like us who go to the dentist and go through all these procedures. And, you know, as we've seen, it's a big waste of time and money in many cases. So why should we care? Well, we should care because of the Canadian Dental Care Plan.
The federal government has unveiled its expanded dental care program.
Starting today, nearly 2 million Canadians, 70 and up, are covered under the new National Dental Care Plan.
Today, coverage for the Canadian Dental Plan begins for those 65 and older who, of course, are eligible.
Kevin, this is like a big deal. It's what Trudeau brags about when he goes on Stephen Colbert.
Please welcome to The Late Show, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Universal health care was decades of trying to bring people together and make it happen. We're moving forward with dental care for low-income Canadians.
It's what Jagmeet Singh brags about when he's asked, what was the point of your deal with the government? Well, we got dental care.
And when it comes to dental care, we're going to keep on fighting to make sure that no family has to make a difficult choice of putting off essential care for their teeth because they can't afford it.
It's an add-on to one of the things the Canadians are most proud of, that we have universal health care. You know, without taking a position, a lot of people really like the fact that there's dental care in Canada and that it's going to be a thing and maybe a growing thing.
Don't get me wrong. I would hate for people to come away from this story and say, oh, my God, the Canadian Dental Care Plan, that's a terrible idea. Like, I'm not arguing that an elderly person or a disabled person or low-income people shouldn't get their teeth taken care of. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am concerned about, and I think we should all be concerned about, is how the federal government is going to be spending our money. So I sent Dr. Lam's study to Health Canada. They run the program.
This is Health Canada. They're the ones who have every reason to try to limit how much money goes out into this program, especially if it doesn't need to be going.
And I will say that they estimated the first 5 years is going to cost $13 billion. So this is a lot of money. I said, okay, you know, now that we're on the hook for this, the Canadian taxpayer, how are they going to prevent this overprescription happening? And they assured me that they said in a statement in part that the Canadian Dental Care Plan is guided by public health principles, including evidence-based decision-making and responsible stewardship of public resources. Okay, so that's the federal government. But I should point out that they're not the ones that are actually going to be running the program. They hired a private insurance company. They're called Sun Life to administer the dental care plan. Now, many of us have probably heard of Sun Life through our workplace benefits because they provide health benefits covering things like medication, massages, dental care. Oh, and by the way, they're charging the federal government $15 million to set up the dental care plan.
Just the administration to set up.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So I asked them for an interview. They never got back to me about the interview, but they did send me information, get this, about dental fraud. Okay, Jesse, here's another quiz. How much do you think Sun Life said dental fraud costs the system every year?
$1 million.
hundreds of millions of dollars
hundreds of
a
millions
year.
Of dollars, yeah.
And they went on to give me a bunch of examples. For example, if the dentist charges for a service he never did or changes the date on the x-ray so that it's covered under the benefits. Like, they track stuff like that, and if they flag a dentist, they catch it.
But that's a much more egregious and like, con artist-y kind of...
Exactly, and much more easy, you would assume, much more easy to catch. So I asked Dr. Lam if he had any faith in Sun Life or Health Canada being able to catch this kind of upselling, clever little upselling of services.
I think it would be harder for a regulatory authority to be able to identify those sorts of practices. I think that Canadian taxpayers should be very concerned. Right now, I don't know what the government's budget is for dental services.
I think it's over $13 billion in the first 5 years.
And that's a lot of money. Now, we're not spending $13 billion on making right-wing radiographs, but there is a cost. Without having the numbers in front of me, I wouldn't be able to say for sure, but certainly it would be in the millions or even perhaps tens of millions.
All right. Well, everybody stick around because in a minute, Kevin is going to speak directly to DentalCorp.
So let's get back to the dental office you went to at the top of the show, because ultimately, you know, the buck has to stop with someone. And as Dr. Lam said, he has concerns about dentists overprescribing x-rays. And I also want to remind you that DentalCorp is the biggest dental corporation in Canada, with second quarter 2024 earnings of almost $400 million in revenue.
You went David to Goliath up against Big Tooth.
Yeah.
What did Big Tooth have to say?
Julian Perez is DentalCorp's chief legal officer, and here's what he had to say.
Jesse Brown, who is the publisher at Canada Land, we sent him to a dental office. The dental hygienist did tell him that all new patients normally get a full mouth set of x-rays. Mm. And just wondering why the dental hygienist would have told him that.
It is very standard for dentists to have a protocol for the intake of new patients.
I just want to read you just a statement from the Royal College of Dental Surgeons of Ontario. They're a body that regulates dentistry in Ontario. They said a dentist must review a patient's health history and complete a clinical examination before prescribing radiographs. So why is it then at DentalCorp it seems to be a standard practice? Shouldn't the dentist do the exam first and then decide, and only then if the patient needs a full mouth set of x-rays, not every new patient just gets them? This is according to your governing body.
I'm just going to say, DentalCorp doesn't have a standard protocol for new patient exams.
In 2021, there was a study done, radiograph prescription practices of dentists in Ontario, and they found that many dentists in the province overprescribe x-rays, that is, in fact, the protocol that a lot of dentists use. So I'm just wondering what steps DentalCorp is taking to prevent dentists overprescribing x-rays.
Well, in terms of trying to prevent dentists from overprescribing x-rays, we have sent out a number of communications to dentists advising them that they need to adhere to the principle that governs the use of radiographic imaging in all of healthcare. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's an inference in your questions that x-rays are either being used without the appropriate level of diligence.
You know, we came away with the impression after Jesse went to an office owned by DentalCorp that this is just standard practice.
So I don't know what the dentist or the hygienist should have said, right? Because I wasn't...
Well, shouldn't they have said that we have to do a thorough exam before we can prescribe x-rays? Well,
I don't know what they should have said because I don't know what the conversation was. Like, I don't know...
But isn't that the policy of the Royal College?
The policy is to provide, you know, the dentistry that's in the best interest of the patient. Right.
Which would include a complete exam before prescribing radiographs. That's the policy.
And so you're asking me about a specific patient exam that happened that I don't know about, that I don't have the records for, that I wasn't in the room for, right? And you know.
Well, I'm just also saying that's the impression we got, that that's what happens at DentalCorps.
Well, I can't speak to the impression that you took away.
No, but you can speak to the that's not what should have happened at a DentalCorps office, that there shouldn't be this automatic protocol of full mouth x-rays, that a thorough exam has to should have happened first before any discussion of x-rays.
We're jumping. I actually don't know if a thorough exam occurred.
No, it didn't.
So this individual never had an exam?
No, he had a cleaning, and then he asked the hygienist, she discussed him coming back to be a patient at the clinic, and she said, he said, well, what should I be doing?
Oh,
and she said, oh, the norm is a new patient gets a full mouth set of x-rays.
Okay, so the patient never had a dental x-ray at the...
No.
Okay, so the patient went, had a hygiene cleaning.
Had a cleaning.
Had zero x-rays taken.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then asked what the policy is.
This sounds completely appropriate to me, honestly. Like, the hygienist obviously examined the patient, would have observed the state of the patient's oral cavity, and the hygienist told them what the standard is in general terms, right? And so
normally he gets a full mouth set of x-rays.
Yeah. Exactly. And what happens when you come back, right, and would be that you would go in and you would sit with the dentist, and the dentist would go tooth by tooth, and at that point would say, I think you need X x-rays.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's what I'm wondering, why the hygienist didn't say that. She just said, oh, normally you get a full mouth set of x-rays.
I mean,
instead of saying, oh, normally the dentist has to decide after an exam. Like, why wasn't that her answer? Or the receptionist said, I don't know. The dentist decides. We don't know.
So, you know, if you're to say, yes, you know, the standard is to do an exam and to make everything patient-specific 100%, and that is absolutely what DentalCorp, you know, encourages our dentists to do. The way we go about that is not by over-treating patients. That is the last thing we would want to do. We are here to provide excellent patient care. That's what DentalCorp is trying to do.
So having heard this, I'm curious, the next time you go to the dentist or go to the dentist with your kids and the hygienist says, oh, it's time for your x-rays, what are you going to say?
I am going to kick them so hard.
Crack some skulls.
I am going to throw all over the place.
You have perfectly natural response.
Those
very
little
healthy.
Dixie cups are going to be.
It's like
that little paper bag with the toothbrush they give me.
Yeah.
They're going to be.
You.
Can I just editorialize for a second
Please.
Here? Look, we're having a laugh here as if this isn't that big a deal. And I don't know, maybe in the grand scheme of things it isn't, but I want to say that the level of bashfulness or explanation that you felt is necessary to say, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm not saying dental care is a bad thing. We got to get over that, because if you care about these programs, if you are proud that we have universal health care, then we should be the most diligent about keeping the system honest.
Right.
Because we know that these little things become big things, and then you're like paying three times, four times as much for things that ultimately the system can only sustain so much, and it crashes. And, you know, when I go to see my doctor for a checkup and he says, how are you feeling otherwise, though? And I think he's just being a good doctor, but then you find out that he's like billing you for like, he can now bill you for a little bit of a therapy session. And like, you know, like these things erode the trust in the system.
Yes.
And these weird incentives that our professionals have, and they overload the system. They make the system too expensive. The system serves some people, but there's inequities within how the system gets paid out. And Canadians need to lose their embarrassment about being tough on these systems and demanding that these systems be efficient.
And that's exactly what Dr. Lamb's advice was to the people the next time they go to the dentist. Here's what he said to do.
I always tell patients that you are your own advocate for your health care. So in my mind, the more questions you ask, I think that will make you a better advocate. I think there are a lot of people who are perhaps shy or scared to make a decision that appears to go against the wishes of their healthcare profession.
The dentist, yeah.
I think a good healthcare professional welcomes these questions and takes the time to respond and provides that patient with the comfort in knowing that the reason they're receiving a particular diagnostic test or a particular treatment is one that will ultimately benefit them. So again, high benefit and low risk.
Thanks, Kevin.
Anytime.
That's your Canada Land. I can be emailed about today's episode at jesse@canadaland.com. You can also follow me on Blue Sky. Our website is at canadaland.com. Today's episode was reported and presented by Kevin O'Keefe. Our senior producer is Bruce Thorson. Audio production and editing from Tristan Capicchione. Production assistance from Max Collins, who also fact-checked today's show. Our theme music is by So-Called. Syndication is handled by CFUV, 101.9 FM in Victoria. Visit them online at cfuv.ca. Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each